From KQED Public Radio, I'm Susie Rocho with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California science and environmental stories. It was 19 years ago this week that the earth shook so violently under the Bay Area that portions of the Bay Bridge and Interstate 880 fell down. 63 people died, and communities were devastated.
The downtown section of Santa Cruz is basically gone. All the old brick unreinforced buildings have collapsed.
The 6.9 Loma Prieta earthquake was a stark reminder that we live in earthquake country. While many Californians would rather not think about the possibility of another major quake, the reality is we are surrounded by active faults. And as Andrea Kissick reports, one East Bay fault line has scientists especially concerned.
Geologists tend to be among the most reserved of scientists, but when they talk about the Hayward Fault, they do so in almost apocalyptic terms.
Because the Hayward Fault's sitting right in the middle of where people live and all our major lifelines, it's really probably one of the most dangerous faults in the country.
That's Mary Lou Zoback. She's principal research scientist for Risk Management Solutions, a Newark company that studies the costs of disasters. The Hayward Fault runs 40 miles through some of the most densely populated areas in the U.S. More than 2 million people live in the East Bay.
94 Fremont Street now approaching Platform 1.
On its way from San Pablo Bay south to Fremont, the fault passes under the UC Berkeley football stadium, trauma centers, major gas lines, and BART routes.
They've actually built the station and the parking lot right on top of the Hayward Fault.
There are cracks in the pavement. Are these actually from the fault?
Yeah, actually, the Hayward Fault is a little bit different than the San Andreas Fault. And the difference is that the Hayward Fault creeps.
That means the fault is moving at the surface, but deep in the Earth's crust, it's locked, until built-up tension causes the fault to slip. Radiocarbon dating has helped scientists to determine magnitudes from earlier quakes. They have found that major quakes along the Hayward Fault have occurred nearly every 140 years for the last 2,000. And as coincidence would have it, this October 21st marks the 140-year anniversary of the powerful 1868 Hayward quake. Scientists are projecting that another 6.8 quake on the Hayward Fault could cause billions of dollars in damage and leave at least 200,000 people homeless.
When one of those earthquakes occurs again, we'll be looking at maybe 6 feet of horizontal motion at the surface. That's going to tear apart the roadways, the east-west roadways. The Hetch Hetchy Aqueduct crosses the fault. It's going to be offset and it will have to be shut down. BART line crosses it several times. Gas pipelines, all sorts of infrastructure that we depend on, it's going to be destroyed basically by the earthquake.
A number of public buildings are undergoing retrofitting to make them more structurally sound. Area hospitals have until 2013 to meet seismic safety standards. There is a state inventory of public schools prone to collapse in a major quake, but no such list exists for private schools. And retrofitting standards for residences are confusing.
Contractors don't know that they're doing the jobs incorrectly because they have no code to follow, they have no special licensing, they might do two a year, and they don't bother to do the research like I did after the Northridge earthquake in Los Angeles.
Jim Cook, owner of Bay Area Retrofit in Berkeley, estimates about a quarter of the houses in the East Bay have been retrofitted. Most of them, he says, incorrectly. Cook is emerging from under an older East Bay home where he has bolted the house to the foundation and added plywood as bracing. Cook has spent years lobbying local governments to improve seismic retrofit standards.
We probably have 60 different diagrams that we use on a daily basis to address strange framing that you find under these old houses. And they're all done differently. And you have to understand how it works, and you have to know what to do when you see it.
You can bolt your house to its foundation for about $5,000 or spend about $500 a year for earthquake insurance with high deductibles. But what if you rent? Mary Lou Zoback says renters should be asking questions of their landlords.
Has your building been structurally evaluated? Have you done anything to strengthen it? Where is the gas shutoff valve for the apartment building?
Renters are particularly vulnerable, says Zoback, a geophysicist who worked 28 years at the U.S. Geological Survey and who has done catastrophe modeling of risky residential buildings.
The scariest thing we found in the modeling was that the largest damage would occur to apartment buildings in the urban core of the East Bay. A lot of these are older buildings. A lot of them are tucked under parking. But basically, if you look at maps of where low-income zip codes exist and these apartment buildings, they map pretty much one-to-one.
Several cities in the Bay Area are conducting studies of these so-called soft-story buildings and moving towards stronger retrofitting requirements. It's hard to escape the odds of a big quake. The damage depends a lot on how people prepare. For many Californians, assembling an earthquake kit is like pulling teeth. It means we have to admit we have set up roots on precarious ground. But just taking the time to pull together 3 days of water and other supplies could make a major difference. For Quest, I'm Andrea Kissick, KQED Radio News.
To find out more about seismic safety for buildings and homes, visit kqed.org/quest.